You are very welcome to the show tonight. I hope I find you well on this Wednesday evening. I'm delighted to say that my guest this week on Stand Out with me, Ian O'Connell, is Trevor Twamley. Trevor is a very successful and talented businessman and founder of a sports marketing platform called Sport Endorse. Sit back and enjoy the show. Trevor, thanks a million for joining me today. How are you keeping?
I'm good, Ian. Delighted to be on your show. Really thrilled.
Thanks very much. I suppose whatever background or whatever guests that I'm interviewing, I like to kind of take them back to the earlier days. What mm-hmm. were you, what was the young Trevor like growing up? Were you always into sports, or what was your childhood like?
I had energy to burn, Ian. I had played soccer, played basketball, went to the Green School, played with the park in Tralee, played with Marion Park, always had a basketball in our hands, and just loved sport. I came from a sports mad family, 6 kids, 4 boys, 2 girls, Arsenal fans, Leeds fans. I think my dad is a Man United fan. I don't know where that came from. But
he's a sensible one, though.
He's a sensible one after one victory last night. No, but you know what? I think I've fond memories of growing up in Tralee. Oh, sport was always, I think that's why we're kind of fanatical about sport in Kerry. It was all about sport. And I played loads of it and watched loads of it. And it was a dream for me. Like I was in media, I was in press for years. And then I met a friend and said, we're setting up Ireland's first sports broadcaster. Would you like to head up the team there? And I said, I'm in. Have you any Premier League rights? Yes, I'm in.
Do you think that being from Kerry, Trevor, do you think that influenced your love of sport from a young age?
I do, Ian, to be honest, because I was just surrounded by it. You know, even in a house when you play Sabutio to handle soccer, to be out in the street playing on the curbs, you know, Wimbledon, it was tennis, GA when it was football, soccer when the FA Cup final was on. So I was surrounded by it my whole life. And you know what? I really love what I do. And I've always loved kind of working in media, working in sports television. And now we love Sport Endorse. And the team here, there's 10 of us, we love what we're doing, you know, helping athletes, helping companies connect with athletes. And yeah, I would say a huge influence, Ian. And, you know, love meeting people, love talking to people. And that helps in this industry.
Absolutely, 100%. Were you always kind of into, I suppose, like you were saying, you're big into media and stuff. Were you always into kind of like the business side of things before we go on and talk about the company and stuff? Were you always interested in kind of business and setting up your own company?
I think I was always quite entrepreneurial, yes, because if you think about in the Sunday Tribune, it went out once a week and you had to do your 50 calls a day to get your feature out on a Friday. I always really worked for myself, even though I worked for another company in the Sunday Tribune and Setanta. And even in Setanta, you had to monetize daily the live content. So you'd have 3 p.m. game on a Saturday. You'd have Champions League Tuesday and Wednesday, Europa League Thursday night, Formula One at the weekend, the Open, the US Open, like Scottish Open. You constantly had to monetize the content, and it was real time. And so yes, I was always in sales. I was always really working for myself. So it was not too difficult when Setanta was sold in 2015, 2016, you know, that I could actually just have the courage, and I had a great business partner, Declan Burke. And we just decided, we talked about it for a while, and we went for it. And we got a break. We got an opportunity in Madison Square Garden. We can loop back to that if you want. But that was that's what started us off on this journey.
I remember I heard you in an interview before talking about that. Were you, I think you were talking that you were in a pub one day having a pint, and then you signed a pro boxer, and that led to Madison Square Garden. Would I be right in saying that?
You'd be right in saying that. A good friend of mine, Brian, came into O'Brien's on Leeson Street, and we had kind of set up the company, and he said, Northern guys, guess who was in my office today? And I was doing his accounts, and I said, who? And he said, X. And I said, great. And I grabbed him by the tie like that, and I said, get me in front of him, will you? So we went into offices in Stephen's Green, and we met the boxer with the hat and the cool and the whole. And it was his first debut pro fight. And then the following day, we built a presentation deck, kind of how we would represent him, how we would present him to companies and things like that. And yeah, like in the next 3 months, it was St. Patrick's Day. We had a group of people, all my friends from Tralee came out. I'll never forget it. And we were ringside, Madison Square Garden, to sell house. Conor McGregor walked the boxer into the ring, and Michael Buffer was calling out. We'd sold the canvas in. We'd sold all the sponsors and the shorts. We had all our sponsor stuff, all our endorsements were up on the screens, these 30-foot screens around the garden. So we've great memories. And I remember standing ringside, all smartly dressed, and going, yeah, this is really good. I think I'm going to like this business. So that happened really short. And when we came home, it was a short space of time. When we came home, there was a lot of people contacting us, because what we'd done for a debut fight for a pro boxer was really unheard of. And it was back to basics, because I just said, right, what are my elements here? What am I going to sell here? He's an Irish boxer. He's in Madison Square Garden. Michael Buffer, sold out crowd, ESPN, 100 million homes. So I was able to take all those elements and sell them. Got a lot of stuff wrong, got some stuff right. But we made a few quid that day, and we came home very happy.
We'll loop back to that in a minute, because that was obviously a huge starting point for the listeners out there, and for I suppose people that aren't very familiar with the company. What exactly do you do in Sport Endorse, and what do you do? Is it kind of to help athletes financially to get partners and stuff, or what do you
Yeah.
actually do?
Look, Sport Endorse is a full service athlete representation business, sports management business. We represent athletes all over the world, and we connect them with the right partners, correct? That's one of the things we do. And during COVID, then we built the Sport Endorse platform in, because we were getting so much talent coming to us. And remember, 95% of athletes, it's only the top 5% that get all the deals, the Kevin De Bruynes and Jake Grealish and all these. The other 95%, if you're trying to be an Olympian, if you're trying to be the best you can be, you need financial support. So there's two elements. There's 95% who need financial support to get to their emerging, to their elite, to their post-career. And then you've got the professional athletes who need to maximize their brand and maximize their commercial opportunity, because they're only one kick away from an injury, and they could be retired at 28. So there's a lot of stuff we do for athletes. The commercial part, the ambassador and the endorsement stuff is really important. And there's a lot of hand-holding too, mid-career when they're trying to change jobs, or post-career when they're looking to create a new identity for themselves, a new brand. Yeah, so it's tough. I mean, it's the top 5% get the money in the pyramid, and the other 95% are struggling to be the best they can be. So we alleviate that pressure from them, and they can be the best they can be on the football pitch or the soccer pitch or the wherever it may be. And then we handle the brand and monetize the brand for them, and monetize their commercial worth.
Very good. And it's like you were saying, it's important for athletes that are trying to reach the pinnacle of their sports to have that financial backing. Would it be, when you're looking for a company and like to partner with an athlete, does it work out kind of like with the athlete's following? Is it like the bigger the following, the bigger the deal, or how would it work?
Yes and no, right? Like, yes, if you've got 18 million followers like Kevin De Bruyne, but your engagement might be quite low, right? So I talked to a company this morning. They look for athletes with 8,000 followers, and they look for athletes with 80,000. And it's not necessarily, you might have a high engagement at 8,000 and a low engagement at 80,000. So it's really, look, everyone has a brand, Ian. Everyone has a brand. Every athlete needs to look after that brand and nurture it and care for it. And companies are striving to get these athletes who've high engagement, who've high brand value. And it doesn't matter if we've had athletes with 3,000 followers who had an engagement of 25, 30%, who the company realized that a lot of those followers really like her. So there's a brand for everybody, Everyone, there's a company for everybody and there's a product for everybody, whether you're nano, micro, macro influencer, sports athlete, there's someone for everybody. And it's about not posting at the right time, doing it, connecting with that company, doing, you know, building a rapport with that company, and building a long-standing relationship that you can have throughout your career. That's the ultimate goal. And the fact that they're going to put money into your brand too, and push it out there that they've partnered with the right person or persons.
That's interesting to see how it works. Like the 8,000 followers might be have more engagement than the 80,000. When you were setting up the company and stuff, did you just kind of see, was there a gap in the market that you kind of noticed yourself? Is that what kind of made you start it up? Was there a gap in the market for this kind of area of
There
business?
was, like, you think, if you think about professional sport or monetizing, commercializing sport in Ireland, we're professional kind of only 20 odd years really with rugby, and then soccer has kicked on later. But no, there was definitely a gap here, and then there was a gap in the UK too, and in America. Then we met a lot of people who didn't get sponsorships or endorsements. So yeah, we did. We found the gap, and we a bit of professionalism, and we kicked on from there. Yeah, that's really how it started. We did spot something, and then we went after it.
That's there's a gap in the market for everything, you know. If you're willing to, like you were saying, even talking to you here with the last 10 minutes, you can see how dedicated you are, and you know how much you enjoy working with the business and stuff. Now, if you want to get in contact with me throughout the show with any questions or requests, you can contact me through my Instagram, enoconnell321, or through my email address, ioconnell@radiokerry.ie. We're going to go for a very quick ad break. Don't go anywhere. Lots more to come. We'll be back after these. You're very welcome back to Stand Out with me, Ian O'Connell. I'm here today with Trevor Twamley. If you're just joining us, don't worry because we got you covered. You can get this interview straight after the show on the Radio Kerry website or on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Stand Out with Ian O'Connell. I wanted to loop back there to Madison Square Garden, like we were talking about. That was obviously a huge landmark for the early days, I suppose, in the company. What was it like seeing the Sport Endorse logo on the big screens and on the canvas and stuff?
It was very satisfying. Like, we didn't even have an office at the time, and I think we were in a hotel lobby, and I was doing deals in the lobby for 25, 30,000. And I thought, like, you know, yeah, it was very satisfying. But we worked so hard at it, Ian. We put everything into that for those 3 or 4 months, you know. But it was satisfying, and we thought, yeah, we can do this. And you gain confidence from that, right? And sales, you have up and downs in sales and business and in life. And in sport, you know, a football match, they say the 70 or 90 minutes, whatever it is, or the 80 minutes, you know, you nearly have a full life cycle there. You win, you lose, you're up and down, there's momentum. And I think business is the same. So we took great encouragement from it, and we decided to go full steam ahead with it. So yeah, even the likes of Michael Buffer calling out the names and things, I got a kick out of that. And I suppose as a child, I mean, that's where Muhammad Ali had his world title fights and things like that, in the small garden there. I think it's an 8 or 9,000 seater. But yeah, we've great memories of it, and love sport, of course. We were in Boston recently meeting one of our friends and investors, and we went to a Bruins game. We got the baseball game in on the Sunday too, and we had our meetings on the Saturday. So we squeeze as much. Anytime we go away, we try and get to an event, a sports event. I
It
even went to
was
the No Camp last week. With my nephews and my brother-in-law. So we got the holiday, and then we got a taxi down to watch Barcelona draw against some team in Lewandowski's first game. But there was a couple of goals, but they were both disallowed. And of course, they scored 5 goals then 2 days ago. But there you go, them the breaks.
You kill two birds doing so and so, getting to the match end and suntanning over in Spain. Did you
Yeah.
feel any kind of pressure to keep up like the reputation from Madison Square Garden? Do you know that you didn't want to drop lower? Did you find any bit of pressure to keep the, I suppose, the potential up to that?
No, we very, very clear kind of, you know, what we do in Sport Endorse is very clear. We're transparent and we want to make things easy. And we try to be do the best by the athlete and do the best by the client, whatever that is. So I think the agency is kind of a gray area. Sports agents is kind of people don't know what are they like, what do they do. So we actually apply ourselves to being very upfront and being direct, to being honest, and actually monetizing things properly. And we do that by knowledge because we've done it for 6 years, pricing things up for people and pricing up fees and building the elements of a package to sell an athlete to a corporate. So I suppose no is the answer because we always, you can't all, like in business and in sales, you can't always, you can harp back to it and be nostalgic about the win, but you always just think for the next sale and the next deal and the next athlete that you can sign and then and people that you can look after. So no, not as a consummate salesman, Ian. I'm constantly working. I'm planning my day. I write stuff down in napkins. I've a pad at me all the time if I come up with an idea, and that's what you do when you're trying to scale a sports business like Sport Endorse.
You're only as good as your last deal, so really, is it?
For me, anyway, that's what I was built. It's kind of my, I was nurtured that way. Correct. You're only as good as your last sale. It's an old cliche, but it's very, very true.
Absolutely. I'd imagine, like in business, especially in life in general, rejection, like, when you'd get, say, meet a company and you get rejected and stuff. I presume at this stage now, years on from the start, it's water off a duck's back to you, is it?
It has to be, and if you don't have that, you want to get out of the business. And I always say it's not a no, it's just a not yet. So I'll always go back. And even the early days when we were selling shorts and endorsements, I didn't get them the first time, didn't get them the second time, I got them the third time. So you just have perseverance, determination, and you have to keep at it. And yes, but it's like anything in life. If you work hard, and if you do your 50 calls, if you do all your meetings, your Zoom calls, now that we have all the way digitally talking to people, even this call with you is great. Like you get confidence from that, you get knocked, and then you get confidence from the knockbacks too, because that no, the next yes, you get a high. So it's very much keep at it. And my thing is not yet. Yeah, I'm going to get you this endorsement soon.
Very good. Was it difficult, I suppose, signing athletes as a new startup business? Was there many in Ireland at the time? Did you, I suppose, when you were obviously a brand new, did you have to kind of show your reputation? Was it slow enough starting, or what was it like?
We had loads of athletes coming to us. So we knew that they needed help. And so we had 100 within a couple of months. And yes, you've got to build up your own brand and a lot of chasing direct and stuff like that. But like if you, I suppose there's always that fear at the start. But I think if you work hard enough, you can work through it. And now we have 2,500 athletes and 500 companies. So see how that has changed in a short period of a few years. So and we decided we're not going to be an agency for Ireland. We're going to be an agency for everywhere. So we built Sport Endorse platform globally. So an athlete can sign up to anywhere in the world and they can apply for opportunities. And we do a deep dive in their personality and their brands and who they want to partner with. And then we can talk to the companies and see what their teams are and what their target market is. So there's a bit of due diligence in it, but certainly we didn't say we were going to be an Irish agency. Yes, we're based here in Dublin. We're based in Ireland, and I'm a Kerry man, but we're very much a global agency.
That's interesting. Is there any sense of, I suppose, competition between agencies to sign athletes, or is it all kind of one to their own?
In Ireland, there's a few of us, right? In the endorsement space, you'll find that like the big agencies, like the top four, IMG, these they do a lot in the contract space. The endorsement space, like agents are coming to me all the time onboarding their talent now because they don't know how to do the boot deal. Or not they don't know, they don't have the time. They're like a transfer season, they're moving them and all that. So we work with agents too and say, well, we can do that for your 70 footballers and stuff like that. So I think we've carved a right little niche for ourselves, Ian. That we're specialists in the endorsement space, but can help out anywhere really, because of the knowledge we've built up over the last 6 years.
So would it be kind of mainly, I suppose, athletes and companies coming to you, Or do you recruit your own? Do you get onto to athletes?
We do both. We've kind of the Sport Nurse brand is built up nicely now that actually we're well known in lots of different markets, right? So UK, across Europe, the States, Ireland. So we're well known, and then we organically go after them too. But what's happening at this stage, Ian, is they're all following us, and then we go, "Hi, how are you?" And they could be Olympians. And our race manager Dave was over in Munich yesterday, and he was getting loads of athletes signed in too. So you have to work at it. You have to build up your relationships with the companies too, and with the PR agencies and the ad agencies, and then with the athletes. So it's a mixture. We market ourselves a lot. The marketing team, Lyce and Manav, push our brand and push our services out and our product out as well. And then I'm constantly ringing people and talking to people about how we can further and build the pool, build the talent pool.
So was it at you know at the start you like we were saying you worked in Setanta Sports for a while and on papers and stuff. Did you take inspiration from any other companies or was it just knowledge that you built up over the years from working with other I suppose areas and companies? Was it kind of trial and error?
I took inspiration from like doing live deals or absolutely. I mean, I think Ireland were playing, or the World Cup was on, whatever year now. I can't remember. We had two sponsors coming in. There was a phone sponsor and there was a car sponsor. I remember getting a call, and in the Setanta floor, your TV screens everywhere where the sport was on, the live sport was on. So you'd have rugby here, horse racing here, ice hockey here, whatever. And the car sponsor rang me from London and said, "Are we too late to sponsor the Rugby World Cup?" And I says, "Well, New Zealand are playing Tonga at the moment, so you want to hurry up." So I take inspiration from deals. I really do. It really gets me going, like how to. I really like what I do, and building relationships and connecting. And I get more inspiration from, doing a deal from an athlete, a perceived smaller athlete, than a big one like Jack Grealish and things, because they're both elite. It doesn't matter. They're both doing being the best they can be in their discipline. So I get inspiration every day, and from different deals we do, and from people I meet on a daily basis. Even yourself. Love talking to you today, and love that. If you can, if you stand out, I love that. I love inspirational people, really, and you truly are an inspirational person, Ian.
Thanks very much. Appreciate that. When you were saying that you meet a lot of people through it, say now if one of your athletes had a, say, a title shot in boxing or they were in a final, would you have to, I suppose, would one of you from the company have to be with them at the event, say if it was a title shot in boxing?
Yeah, we had one with Jason Quigley in November in New Hampshire, and both Deck and I went out to support him and meet our sponsors, and we had a great weekend. And then we had people flying up from New York and Boston to meet us too. Yeah, that's all part of the networking, Ian. You have to do those things for those big occasions, but they're kind of enjoyable too, right? You have fun at them. You're in the foyer with Oscar De La Hoya's people and Eddie Hearn and that kind of stuff. And you're there ultimately to support the person. Like that was Jason Quigley's world title fight against Dimitri Andres. Now it didn't work out for him on the night. But like that's a man from Ballybuffet who had a middleweight title of the world, the WBO. So thousands of people came from Donegal. We went over, we had a great time. It was a celebration as much as anything. And yeah, that's the fun part of our job.
We're going to go for a very quick ad break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after these. Now, you're very welcome back to Stand Out with me, Eoin O'Connell. I'm here today with Trevor Twamley. Was it a pinch me moment from being this man here in Kerry in Dublin, Ireland, from here over to Madison Square Garden, sitting in the green room with the likes of Eddie Hearn and stuff? Was it a kind of a pinch me moment at the start?
I got a pinch me moment when I was selling the Premier League in Setanta. I get pinch me moments all the time, to be honest. The wow factor and meeting these people. No, I treat everyone the same. I think that's one of my skills as well, is it doesn't matter how big you are, I treat you the same as everybody else across anything in life and business. I would. That's just the way I am. I don't get fazed. I do like that. I do like that idea, though, Ian, of the pinch me moment, because I'm very privileged to work in the industry I do, and long may it continue. And that's what I think.
Have you been to like, that's one of the enjoyable sides of it, going to, you've obviously been to a range of different countries around the world, have you?
I think I've been to 11 Champions League finals. That's not gloating now, but it was all kind of entertainment. And when I was in the Setanta days, been to lots of places, but Europe and America, really. I haven't been to Russia yet, or you know, but yeah, I've been to lots of countries throughout my career. We're using this phrase at the moment. It's not my first rodeo. I've been around a while, Ian.
What, speaking of Setanta Sports, what were you actually doing there? Were you commercial or something?
Yeah, I was commercial director, so anything that came into the building in terms of monetizing the airtime, we had a team. There's a team of about 12 of us, 13 of us, and we sold it. And we had a production department as well that made TV ads. So we monetized the content that came in. And our boss Mickey at the time was a gas man. Like, he'd ring you and say, "Listen, Real Madrid are playing Espanyol on Friday. Do you think you can sell it?" And I'd say, "Well, it's Friday morning." You know, the stuff came in all the time. It was a great place. A very entrepreneurial spirit, actually, where the content just come in, you'd monetize it, and you'd sell the airtime around it. So the stings, no different to your own ad breaks in Radio Kerry. There's ad breaks there, 30s, 20s, and all that. So we had a team that did that across all the departments, the Setanta departments in Africa, Australia, Ireland, UK, and things like that. So yeah, that was really it. It was monetizing the eyeballs, I suppose. That's where the expertise came into for, because why, easy for me to take it from TV to athletes, because I was able to go, well, social media is X, there's a cost per thousand there, the brand image is Y, and if you want it for a length of time, it's Z. So yeah, that's what we did. The content that was on, doesn't matter if it was Premier League, Champions League, horse racing, golf, Formula One, we sold the broadcast sponsorship around that, and then the airtime in the middle of it. And it was kind of partnering the demographics from the TV to the what the actual company that was advertising in it. So, and then you had the agency business, your direct business, your sponsor business. But yeah, so it was exciting, and it was great, and it was full on. It was live. Remember, but a bit like yourselves, it has to go out every day, right? There's no stopping. So yeah, I really enjoyed working there, and continued that energy into sport and arts afterwards.
It does. It sounds interesting. And was it something similar that you were doing when you were with a paper before, weren't you?
The Sunday Tribune, Ian, long before your time,
I wasn't even thought of.
it was on Baggot Street there, and I have some great memories of it. Jim Farley was the editor. He was actually the editor in the Kerry Man as well. I'm sure a lot of people in Kerry have fond memories of him. He passed away a couple of years ago there, but it was on Baggot Street above Tesco there, and the production, the editorial was downstairs, and the sales team were upstairs. Distribution were in the room to the side. Accounts were down on one side, and that went out every Sunday. You'd go down with your page on a Friday afternoon, and Brian Goodwin would say, "Go away and go across to Toners, and I'll come over and get you when the page is ready." And you'd come over with the page, and you'd have your picture up here, your advert down there, your editorial here. And I'd say, "That's all fine." And he'd say, "Where's Graham, head of property?" And I'd say, "He's down the back." So it was quite an interesting time. But great people to work with, and I think that camaraderie among all the businesses I worked in, we're trying to feed into our company here, and we do on a daily basis too.
It's important, like, to the people you meet along the way, and I suppose you learn something new off everyone in the business that you meet. I want to mention the elephant in the room, and I know we're gone past it and everything, and we don't want to be thinking of it, but I want to, just about when COVID-19, the pandemic, did that must have had some effect and backlash on the company, did it?
Oh, it did. So we went into investment mode, and revenues were down 40 odd percent. And we decided, but you know what? Stuff happened, Ian. Like, I remember doing deals with brands, protein brands, and talks on Zoom and things, with athletes getting paid for it. So you just adjust. So it actually created new revenue lines for us. And we just said, "Right, there's something in this Zoom call." And we created new revenue lines, and we just kept going through it. And then we built our platform, which took a lot of investment. And yeah, of course it knocked the date. There was no sport on. There was no live sport. So it did give us a kick. But we kept going, we kept working hard, and we just stuck through it, and we built our platform. And now we've did sport live back. We've the new revenue lines, and it's trying to create as many revenue lines as possible to sustain the business and grow it.
And a lot of businesses, I suppose, had that kind of an effect on it. During the Paralympics and the Olympics, there was obviously no fans and stuff. That must have been a very busy time for the company, you know, with, I suppose, athletes trying to get sponsorship for their time over in Tokyo and stuff. Was that a busy time for the company?
It was, do you know what? It was tough for athletes because there was no attendances. That knocks them on their kind of value. And that was the same with the rugby and the Gaelic and the soccer. It did take a kicking. But still stuff happened, you know. So any event, like I could put a calendar on the board there. Anything that comes on, Ireland final, Formula One, Premier League on Saturday, you see a spike in companies and brands looking to book talent. So, yeah, and I said it in our meeting yesterday. Put the world map up there and say there's a Formula One in Paris and you'll be guaranteed there'll be someone looking to do something in Paris, you know. So, yeah, it's busy. Anytime there's live sport, it's busy. Full stop, you know.
Do you look up to any other kind of promoter or anything? Say, you must be familiar with Dana White and the UFC and stuff.
Promoters, I suppose, I just read the Mark McCormack book. Have a read of it, Ian. It's kind of, I think it was written in 1984, so it's a bit dated. He didn't have the amount of lines of communication we have now. But certainly all his stuff in that book is quite relevant in life and in business. So I think he might be my new look-up-to person. In sport, the usual suspects like Tiger Woods, these amazing athletes, the top 0.5% or whatever. Love all of them too. So I think Dana White, look what he's done with that business, amazing. All those guys have stood the test of time, you know, and even the Formula One and Premier League and all these guys, look what they've done with that brand. Look what they've done with the Premier League brand, made it a global brand where you've people buying jerseys all over the world for different teams. So hats off to anyone that has their rights holders that actually can build a business that big and sustain it. I think it's unbelievable.
Is there any standout sport in the company that, I suppose, that you've more athletes in one sport than the other, or is it all kind of even out?
We've 67 different disciplines. So it's hard. Yeah, so there's lots in there. Like you can't, from your athletes to your rugby to your GA, your soccer players in England, John Egan, James Lowe plays for Ireland. Nina Carby is very popular at the moment she was one Dancing with the Stars, and she's going on Ireland's Fittest Families now in a while. So we're constantly trying to match that. The Olympic cycle is on now, so you're going to see a lot happening with, you might see Nat 9 in every billboard and permanent TSB around the country. We're involved in that. So it's all cyclical. It's all timing to when the events are on, when the sporting events are on. But certainly, yeah, we've lots of different athletes, lots of different disciplines. So trying to monetize them at every different level, really, it's a challenge, but we enjoy it.
We're going to go for a very last ad break. Stay tuned in because there's lots more to come in the last part of the show. We'll be straight back after these. Now, you're very welcome back to Stand Out with me, Ian O'Connell, the last part of the show. Is there, I just wanted to ask you there before we finish up, take me kind of behind the scenes of the company and the people, I suppose, working in the background, you know, like the face of the company, like yourself and stuff. But I like the company wouldn't be able to run without the people in the background that, you know, that don't be talked about.
Oh, look, I talk about them all the time. We have a brilliant sales team in Keane and Colin. We've my business partner Declan's amazing. Miriam does all HR office. We've full marketing team in Manav and Lice. We've advisors that are amazing. We've investors who love giving us advice and helping us along as mentors and stuff like that. So we're constantly. We've got Alex in Toronto. Manav is in Dubai. And we have a stand-up call every Monday, and then we're talking to each other all the time every day. So without that team effort, I don't think Sporting Does would be what it is today. And we hope to open an office in Boston now, and we've got a Chris over there in Boston as well, who's eager to get kicking and get on with ice hockey and basketball and stuff like that. So we and golf. Harold Varner the third is on Sporting Dorson. David Carey joined us there recently, the Castleknock golfer who did the open. He was on 4 days of the open. So we're constantly adding to the book, Ian, and trying to expand and go into different markets. But we all that back room, as you said, the back room and the faces, maybe me and Deck or whatever, but without them, Sporting Dorson wouldn't be what it is. And we have to constantly grow, constantly expand and not stay still. You have to keep doing different things, looking at different ideas, be flexible, and that's what we are.
Very good. That was my next question. Have Sporting Dorset expanded into other countries, like you were saying, the UK and stuff now, and you're kind of going into America and stuff? Can you, for the future, like the near future, can you see the company expanding even into, I suppose, further countries abroad and stuff?
Well, we've athletes in Australia in the AFL, in the LAFL. We have 150 athletes in the UK, 200 odd in America. So we're already kind of tapping into these places. The beauty about Sporting Dorset is you can download it to your phone there, no matter where you are in the world, 185 countries or something. So very much so. In Australia, there's a brand for you that wants exposure in Brisbane to that talent. In America, the same. Like what we plan to do, is scale it into America, Ian. There's 530,000 student athletes in the States that are now allowed to get endorsements and sponsorships to the NIL, which is name, image, and likeness ruling that the NCAA have. So we're going to target and try and help them and monetize them properly. And then there's a whole other lot of international student athletes who next year will be able to get sponsorship and endorsements. So we're quite bullish about that. And that's why the US is a target market for us, very much so.
You were saying about the sales team and the marketing and social media teams. In the time we're living in now in 2022 and stuff, how important is social media for you as a company to keep an eye on, I suppose, analytics and reach and everything online?
Very, very important. It's one of the elements now they look for. Like, you have influencer agencies. We're not that. I mean, but when a company wants to connect with someone, they want to say, right, what's their Instagram? What's their engagement like? What's the insights? What was last weekend? How did the last post do? So it is very important. And I would say to athletes that, you know, as part of your building your brand, your social media is important, because that's what they want, bang for their buck, and they can actually see who's liking, who's sharing and stuff like that.
Brands are always looking for that, Trevor, are they?
They are. They're always looking for that, and they're looking out for engagement. And, you know, so what do companies look for in an athlete? They want a brand ambassador for a year. They want to use your image on their social and yours. And they want Instagram, and they want Twitter and TikTok and all that kind of stuff. And they want Q&As, and they want you to meet and do talks in companies. There's not a lot in it, but one of the boxes you have to tick now is the social media side of it.
And is it just sporting athletes that you take on, or is there other kind of areas that you take on? Or
look, we've presenters, we have athletes. I mean, sport is we're a sports agent, sports athlete agency. So it is athletes kind of who are elite, have to be 16, emerging, mid-career, post-career. But certainly we have presenters that ask us to help them out. We've done deals with presenters in the past. We're working with a few actors too. It's not our core, but if someone needs a dig out, or if a company is looking for that that personality, we do help them off the platform. Our Sporting Dorset, the Sporting Dorset platform itself is sport, it's athlete kind of focused, and be it post career or middle, or if they want to go into punditry or do a launch with another brand. But certainly our business is flexible that way, where we can help pretty much anybody, Ian.
That's interesting. I thought it was just sporting athletes and stuff. I was a very good friend of mine, Jordan Lee. I was talking to him last night, and I was saying that I was going to be talking to I
hope
today.
he said good stuff about me.
Yeah, he has all good stuff. Don't worry. What Jordan's rising in I suppose athletics and the high jump and stuff has been unbelievable in the last 2 or 3 years. He you've obviously noticed it as well. He's a big part of the brand.
Yeah, he's a priority athlete for the Irish team in the Paralympics, right? And I see that as like he definitely deserves that. You look at that kid. I mean, his story is amazing. Played for his country in able-bodied basketball under 15, you know, with a limb missing. So, and then went out and built the track with Tomas and stuff, and raised the money to build the athletic track in Killarney. It's stuff of dreams, really, isn't it? And then to go represent your country and be a pallbearer in the Paralympic Games, I kind of think he's an amazing person, and has a great story. Very confident. His brand is well liked, and he's actually a very nice person to sell as well. He's such a personal person, and I really like Jordan. Really like them all, Gian. I really like them all, but I like working with Kerry people too.
That's it. My very last question I wanted to ask you, if you could work with one client dead or alive today, who would it be?
Oh my God. Muhammad Ali has to be up there, wouldn't it? Like, yeah, even to get in the room with him. And not that I'm a boxing mad or anything. I just think these people who've changed. Michael Jordan, imagine working with him. Jesus. Like,
that would be like, the pinnacle, wouldn't it?
It would be the pinnacle, yeah. Any of those guys, I think. And the soccer side, you know, I'm like 80s, 70s and 80s child, that old Arsenal team. The team that beat Liverpool in, I think it was 89, Michael Thomas. David Rocastle, poor fella, passed away quite young from the Big C. There's too many to mention, Ian. But yeah, wouldn't it be great to have Michael Jordan in your office and doing his Nike deal, or the boot deal? We'd all be happy now, wouldn't we?
We'd be over in Dubai or something.
All good.
All good. Trevor, you're a gent. Thanks a million for hopping on today now, and I really appreciate it for taking the time.
And look, you're very welcome. Anytime, any athlete out there, any elite athlete, download the Sport and Arse app to your phone, and any company, go on to sportandarse.com if they want to connect with them. You're all welcome. We are doing demos morning, noon, night here, all the team are, with both companies and athletes. So everyone is welcome. Have a look, have a nose, and put up some opportunities for talent. Very, very welcome.
Now, unfortunately, that's all we have time for tonight. I hope you all enjoyed the show, and I appreciate you tuning in as always. A massive thank you to Trevor for coming on today and having a chat and taking the time out to have a chat with me about his company and his own life story and stuff. It's a very interesting interview, and I hope you all enjoyed it. Stay tuned into Radio Kerry, because Brian Priestley is up next with That's Jazz. I'll be back at the same time next Wednesday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Until then, stay safe and mind yourself.